HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 24, recorded Monday, July 10th, 2006. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Codesmith Tools, makers of Codesmith, an extensible template-based code generator for .NET. And now, Hansel Minutes listeners get $100 off Codesmith Professional with coupon code HM100, online at codesmithtools.com. Support is also provided by ExceedZip for .NET, which lets you handle zip, tar, and gzip files on FTP servers, in streams, in memory, and more. Now get 20% off any Exceed component or suite just for listening to Hansel Minutes. Just go to shrinkster.com/FPT and use the code HM-20-20. And don't forget to visit peterbloom.com. Start with better controls, finish with better sites. Online at PETERBLUM.com. And .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine, online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott discusses advanced capabilities of Microsoft's PowerShell.
Hi, this is Carl Franklin. Welcome back to Hansel Minutes. Of course, we're talking with Scott Hanselman, as we always do. Scott, what's on the roster for today?
Well, it's been a while since we talked about PowerShell, which was originally called Monad, or the Microsoft Command Shell.
Right.
And I got a number of letters from listeners saying they want to hear about some more PowerShell stuff. And if you read my blog, you know that I've been messing around with a lot of PowerShell. So let's call this Advanced PowerShell.
Such as it is. Okay, great.
Now, have you had a chance to dig into this at all?
PowerShell, no. I've read the blogs. I've seen what it can do, but I haven't done it myself. I haven't used it yet.
PowerShell, for me, I've been thinking more and more about how to describe this. You know, what's the elevator speech when you try to explain to someone what's PowerShell?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a .NET command line that lets you put Windows on a string.
Sweet. I mean,
anything that you can do, you know, by right-clicking an MMC and saying file new, whatever, you know, you can do with PowerShell.
And when you script it, you can pass object references, right?
Exactly. You pass objects from place to place. So, you know, you can do all the same stuff you're used to, like dir, pipe, more. But when you say dir, you're not really getting a listing of directory. You're not really listing out the directory as text. You're getting back some directory info objects and
right.
some file info. You're really looking at arrays of objects,
yeah.
which then lets you use reflection to manipulate these things.
Sweet.
It's a fantastic command shell, and there's a very vibrant community that's being built up around this for systems administrators, but also enthusiasts and developers like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an admin or an IT guy,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I used to write a lot of small programs to test stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you want to check to see what datetime.toString does or whatever. And more I've been doing that at the command line. It's such an amazing experience to be able to load an assembly from your command line and start calling methods on it directly.
That's very cool.
Now, there's a whole series of lists and resources that I could potentially give you, and I'll give you a lot, but there is a fantastic list of resources at delicious.com/PowerShell, which is at shrinkster.com/GIL. Delicious, of course, is the social bookmarking system online.
Automatic cream rising to the top machine.
Exactly. And the user whose username is PowerShell has set up a series of links. And then there are also all of the Delicious links that are tagged as PowerShell, which is at shrinkster/GIN. So that's
okay.
delicious.com/PowerShell or delicious.com/tags/PowerShell. Once you start poking around in there, you see the popular tags, you see basically everything, the depths of all of the things that are being talked about around PowerShell.
Right.
Now, because PowerShell used to be called Monad or the Microsoft Command Shell, a number of things are tagged as MSH because
mm-hmm.
MUSH was what we used to call PowerShell.
Right.
So you might also take a look at the delicious things that are tagged MUSH. So that's at shrinkster/GIR.
Okay.
Between the three of those things, you've pretty much got the full spectrum of what's being talked about within the PowerShell universe. Now, there's another number of other places where you can get introductions and things about PowerShell, and we talked about...
Including your show. I mean, we did an introductory show on PowerShell.
Yeah, and we won't redo that show here. So we're going to think this is an advanced PowerShell.
This is part two, yeah.
Yeah, part two. So might take a look at that last show. It was a nice, quick update on what was going on in PowerShell and kind of the gestalt behind it. But we're going to talk about a little bit more advanced stuff. So if you want the basics, take a look at our other show. There's also a good site at ResKit, which is at shrinkster.com/GIV. They give you some details on what's available. But things that I'm interested in PowerShell are extending it, right? Making it dance.
Right.
So there's a thing called a commandlet, a CMDLET, commandlet. And commandlets can be written in any .NET language. Mm-hmm. So you would sit down in C# and you'd make a new class library and then take either existing code that you have or write stuff from scratch using the full power of the .NET framework and write out a new command within PowerShell.
Okay.
These commands might take input that's been piped in.
Mm-hmm.
Or input from the command line. It's totally up to you. There's a really great screencast at shrinkster/GIX. And this is a video of how to make a commandlet. There's lots of great sample code that comes with the documentation pack for PowerShell. And I personally haven't had to write a commandlet. I kept saying to myself, well, I'm going to really get right into .NET and do it. But more and more, I'm finding myself writing scripts because you really have the full power of the .NET framework. You don't have IntelliSense right out of the bat on the command line, but .NET's sitting right there. You can do anything that you want to. But a lot of people have existing libraries that they want to call, or they like that the sense of packaging up all of their stuff into one single commandlet. So take a look at that screencast.
Okay.
Now, when you create a commandlet, you package up your existing functionality or new functionality into a DLL. You can run a thing called make shell, and you can make your own custom PowerShell.
Are you talking about references? With references loaded up or?
Right. With references loaded up, environment loaded up, colors, everything
yeah.
to customize. So you might have, if you're a system administrator for a very large company, you might want to have one for managing Exchange mailboxes and one for managing FTP and have all of your different shells set up.
I see.
You might want to set up a custom one just for the work that you do with PWOP on, you know, you might have BitTorrent things from the command line. You might have FTP stuff set up, environment variables, paths, existing scripts prepared. So then
yeah.
you have multiple shells, right? You have two shells now, Carl. You've got your
right.
command.exe and you've got VSVARs, right? When you go into Visual Studio command
right, because it has different path statements in the environment, sure.
Exactly. So extending that, how many different kind of context windows would one need? So we have a big application at my company called Voyager that does online finance. Why wouldn't we have a Carillion-specific PowerShell? And then we can just ship that shell to folks. They put PowerShell on their system.
Mm-hmm.
They get, you know, Carillion.Voyager.Shell, and everything that they need is there available to them.
Okay.
So there's definitely some power there within creating your own commandlet and then creating your own shell.
That's pretty cool, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it gets even cooler. So you can get lots and lots of good information at the Microsoft PowerShell news group. This is just at Microsoft/communities up at shrinkster/GIY. But the thing, here's the mind-blowing thing. It's not just about the shell, it's about the engine. The fact that it decided to display itself as a text on a black background is really just a fascia on top of this underlying engine.
Right.
What if I have an application that I want to enable for scripting? I've got an application, it's got an object model, it's got things that people might want to extend. I would like them to write just a little bit of script to manipulate the objects that are living inside of my application.
Sure.
So Lee Holmes has got a really great blog post at shrinkster/GIZ. And do you remember Logo? Did you do this in school?
Yeah.
This is a little turtle.
Turtle basic kind of stuff. Yeah.
Turn right, turn left, and then you start learning about looping, and the next thing you know, you've written drawn a flower
right.
with some kind of a recursive algorithm.
Right.
So he wrote Logo in C#, and it's pretty straightforward. It's just a little WinForms application. He's got a little object called Turtle, okay, and Turtle's got a number of public methods on it, like reset, turn left, turn right, and things like that. Seems pretty straightforward. But how would he make it available to the user to script? So he makes
right.
a text box where people can write in PowerShell script,
huh.
and then he hosts what's called a run space. That run space is the PowerShell engine, Okay, so at this point, PowerShell hasn't yet come together. It hasn't come into the application. He's got a nice graphical area to draw the turtle. He's got a text box. They write into the text box, maybe they say turtle.left10. Okay?
Yeah.
Then in the run button on his click, he say, click, do it. He makes a new run space, and then he says to the run space, there's this object called turtle, and he hands it into it. So you're creating an instance of PowerShell, that run space, handing the turtle object into it, and then you say, create pipeline. Because a pipeline is really a series of commands. So whatever they wrote in their text box, that script is a pipeline of command after command after command.
Cool.
And then he says, pipeline.invoke, and draws what the turtle did.
Very cool.
So think of how you could use this in existing applications.
Sure.
You know, maybe someone could script PropCatcher to do different things. You've basically built in automation.
You like using PropCatcher. You like using PropCatcher as an example, I've noticed.
Well, in this case, my audience of one is you, right? So I'm putting it in terms that my audience can understand.
Sure.
Just like my example is always Voyager and our application at Corellian.
Yeah.
But PropCatcher is a great example because it's one of these little applications that's starting to become more and more fully featured.
Sure.
And at some point, scripting might be something you might want to do to it.
Absolutely.
Or other applications.
Yeah.
Scripting is one of those things that one has always wants to add to their application, but it, the distance between your idea and the actual getting it done is always so great. In this example, Lee Holmes has added scripting to an application in 6 lines of code. And you don't see the PowerShell, right? It doesn't fire up and shell off into something. I mean, this is running in process. He's just adding a reference to system.management.automation. So think about this. If you can start hosting the PowerShell, just in this example, doing script, what else could you do with it? You could have an administrative console written entirely in PowerShell, get it working, and then write a WinForms app around it. Write a management application.
You know, I hear the voice of skepticism in the back of my head. Maybe a few listeners out there are feeling this too. You know, why are you reinventing the wheel? Why not just do things with Visual Studio? Why not just create an application? You know, why have a limited set of functionality when you can have the real thing?
Okay, so that's a very good question. So one, if I wanted to go and write some functionality that would be available to me at both the command line and at the WinForms, in WinForms, I'd have to write some DLL out there that would do the thing, right? So I'd write that in C# or VB. And then I'd write the command line version, right? And then I'd write the Windows version. But because the command line version is forced to take strings as input and strings as output, it wouldn't be able to very easily communicate with other pieces of the command line version. I couldn't string multiple commands together.
Now you have to write parsers and things like that.
Then things get gross. Okay.
Interoperability is really the key here.
Right. Interop between commands.
But
it really gets interesting when we talk about COM and WMI. If we're talking just .NET, you partially have a point. Yeah, you could just write it in .NET and it would work fine. And many people have done just that, and that's great. But what's cool in PowerShell is that WMI objects and COM objects and .NET objects are all peers. In .NET, in a regular WinForms application, COM objects have that whole interop thing getting created behind you. And every once in a while, a little COM leaks out and you go, ew, that's nasty. And WMI isn't exactly easy either.
But you have the same, you must have the same interop issues with COM objects in PowerShell that you do in a .NET app, don't you?
Well, so because PowerShell is doing all of its evaluation at runtime and lazily, they get to generate all this stuff and the whole fascia on top of your objects at runtime. And the object back that they hand back to you, they can make it look like anything that they want. So in PowerShell, if you want to make a new .NET object, you can say new hyphen object system.string. If you want to make a new COM object, you say new hyphen object dash COM shell.application. And then you can loop over it and look at collections and run around inside the object exactly as if it's any old PowerShell object.
Sure, but one of the problems, especially with the dispose pattern and all that kind of stuff with COM objects, is that if you really want to get rid of them, you can't just set them to nothing. You have to use the Marshall object and release COM object.
Now, I'm not sure how specifically PowerShell deals with that, but I've gone and just set the COM objects to null, to null rather, to $null, and haven't had any trouble. we've treated WMI objects the same way.
Doesn't really mean that it's working right, though. But
no, it doesn't mean it's working right, but it does mean that PowerShell does everything that it possibly can, and your point is valid to the extent that it's possible, to make it look like all these objects are peers, are the same thing.
And I guess it's also what you're using it for, right? You're using PowerShell to script applications together, whereas, you know, the problems with COMInterop really happen, you know, really rear their ugly head under a big scalable backend system.
Sure, that's a very valid point. And I'm not going to necessarily have PowerShell doing 10,000 somethings against a COM interface.
Yeah,
although I did recently write a script that would talk to Outlook and remove duplicates from my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So it spun through all my calendar objects within the Outlook object model using COM,
right.
Then looked for duplicates and removed them.
And it
took like 200 megs of RAM and pounded on Outlook for a half an hour, but it didn't blow up. It didn't leak that I could see.
Right. So a leak is no problem because it doesn't have to stay in memory for long periods of time.
Because I'll just eventually close that shell.
Yeah, I get it. Process blows away. It's gone anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Good points.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've been doing at Carillion is scripting our version control using, you know, Subversion. We've talked about before how I'm a Subversion guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some applications that need to programmatically check things in and out of the system. We're doing some configuration management. We have an application that if our end user goes into our system and makes a change using a configuration tool, we want to know that they made that change. We want to have auditability. So we actually check the files that that person changes with our content management system back into source control. So then we can go back and say, well, gosh, on Tuesday, the client logged in and made three changes, and I can see exactly what he did by doing diffs.
Huh.
That's a pretty simple pattern. It has nothing to do with source control. It has to do with managing content, right?
Right.
Why create a database to do all that management when you've got a perfectly good journaled file system right here? And the same thing would apply to Team Foundation Server. But the Subversion system is this big, opaque C monster that I don't well understand.
Hmm.
But a really cool guy named Arald Fiennes at Shrinkster/GIK, this is the guy who wrote Ankh. Ankh is the Subversion plugin for Visual Studio, is also a PowerShell fan and is helping us write Subversion scripts to check stuff in and out.
Hmm.
So right now there's scripts delivering at the command line, but we're going to plug those in using that same extension ability to host PowerShell within a web application or WinForms application. So all that functionality to make these changes to our configuration system are going to be available in the WinForms app.
Hmm.
We might put it into like an Office application like InfoPath,
mm-hmm,
or the command line or in on the web, all being hosted within PowerShell.
Hmm.
So PowerShell helps you level the playing field with these administrative consoles that you might have.
Very cool.
So that administration stuff is really where it's at. If you take a look at Jeffrey Snaver, the architect of PowerShell, had a series of tech ed talks that are now online. You can see him at Shrinkster/GIM. Jeffrey is the really enthusiastic guy who helped create PowerShell. He's kind of the architect of PowerShell, the father of PowerShell. I got a chance to meet him at TechEd. We were just literally there on Sunday walking around. The pre-conference had started, and he was hanging out talking to another blogger named Mark from the Netherlands, and they were just hanging out, and I was like, hey, what are you guys up to? And then we just start hacking on PowerShell. I think I talked to him for like 3 hours. Such a cool guy. That's one of the great things about TechEd. You just bump into people
like this. Awesome.
I ended up doing two demonstrations of PowerShell for Jeffrey, and so he could free him up to do a little bit of other things. So we're writing more and more PowerShell content at Carillion, and we need to unit test that content. So one of our guys, Jason Sherman at Carillion, has written an NUnit example up at Shrinkster/GIO, where you can use NUnit to test your PowerShell scripts to see if they work well.
Cool.
Very, very simple. Same exact model as the logo stuff. You're hosting PowerShell within NUnit, and then NUnit itself gets hosted within a test runner. And those concepts very much apply to whatever test runner you're using. If you're using Team Foundation Server, it would apply as well. It's just that flexible. Having an in-process engine to fire up PowerShell, it makes it really, really powerful.
Nice.
Now, one of the other things that PowerShell is really awesome at doing is manipulating XML. It lets you look at XML in what feels like a very strongly typed way. Like if I were going to load up if I were going to load up an RSS feed and look for attachments, right? Look for enclosures.
Uh-huh.
Typically, I would like do what XML document.load, give it the URL, then I'd say like select nodes or select single nodes.
You could use XPath too.
Right, use XPath, type in /enclosures or something like that.
Right, right.
I could use get elements by tag name and get all of the elements of a certain tag name.
Several nested loops.
Yeah, I could spin through it looking at the different child nodes underneath that DOM.
Right.
With PowerShell, though, you can do all those things, of course, but it also looks at the tags and generates, basically, I would say, synthetic properties.
Hmm.
So I could say, take in a variable A. I say A, and I go off and I get my RSS feed, and now inside of the variable A is my RSS feed. I could say A.RSS.Channel.Items.
Wow.
And spin through that list. So they don't really exist, but it looks at the document and it gleans them, right? They're synthetic.
No, that's a beautiful model.
Oh, it's so clean. It's not serialization, right? It's almost like Link or Xlink.
Yeah.
But it's today.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then I can, what's cool, check this out. So I can say a.rss.channel.items pipe, and then I can pipe that collection of items, and then I can go and say where item.title equals this.
Huh,
so I can do almost kind of, it's very link-like.
Yeah.
And it all happens today, and it's all because PowerShell is doing this lazy reflection, you know, loose typedness.
Interpreting.
Right, and it's very fast. You know, performance doesn't have to be an issue, right? Because it's supposed to be friendly and flexible.
Yeah, and performance is less and less of an issue every year with these new processors. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
especially for
apps. Exactly. And for administration, it's not that big of a deal.
Not a big deal.
But it still is pretty fast. So I went and I noticed that a guy had written a Windows desktop search thing, plugin, commandlet for PowerShell because he wanted to be able to search his desktop search from PowerShell. Now, I stopped using Windows Desktop Search a while back. I use Google Desktop Search. So I know that Google Desktop has a COM API, so I figured I'd go off and try to do some magic to talk to that COM API. But
yeah,
the COM part of my brain has long been overwritten by more interesting things, right? That brain cell now holds, I don't know, information about Lost and Grey's Anatomy, but, you know. So I was physically incapable of doing that. Oh, yeah. I gave up on all that stuff. And then I said to myself, well, crap, how am I going to talk to Google Desktop? All they have is this COM API. Well, it turns out that, you know, if you search Google Desktop, you're doing a local host. They have a little mini web server, right? You're on like port 8080. If you type in format equals XML on the URL when you talk to your Google Desktop, they'll hand back XML rather than HTML.
Ooh, and you could pipe that right into
PowerShell.
Into PowerShell.
And start manipulating it.
Wow.
So what I ended up doing was I did a local web server call. Basically, I said to PowerShell, search for Carl Franklin, does a web service call to the local host instance of Google Desktop, format equals XML, and then spun through it. And then here's the cool part. It returns back the file names, right?
Yeah.
Well, those file names are local. They're on my real system. So
beautiful.
I can go and say, get info, and suddenly talk to those file names. And I ended up returning not just a list of the file names, but the actual file info. See, you're ahead
nice.
Of me. Exactly. And then from there, I could say, search for all of these files and get their content and copy them here or delete them or whatever. So you know what I ended up doing? I ended up searching for my social security number, found it in a tax return that I had forgotten about. And then piped the resulting file info objects and deleted them.
Wow.
Yeah, very cool stuff. And that's just one example. That applies to whatever you want to do. Any place where you've got some information and you want to tie it into other information. So PowerShell is that spackle, right? It's that putty that can tie these disparate bits of information together. So for automating, like the workflow process, I know that you have a very complicated workflow process to make PoAP work because you have the source audio and then it fires off all these different codecs and compressors and things to make all the different audio and then FTP them,
right?
Put things in databases and stuff.
Yep.
It's probably batch files in Magic and VB.net. I don't know how you do it.
It is. No, it's no batch files. It's shelling out to different things and shelling out to convert the files, you know, to LAME and to the Windows Media Encoder. And, you know, the workflow is all just logic. It's all VB.NET logic.
Stuff like that is totally something you could write in VB.NET, and you already have.
Yeah.
The benefits of writing it in scripting are the flexibility that you can change those things very quickly.
Right.
There's also the notion of a progress bar within PowerShell. You can say write progress.
Yeah.
And depending on what it's hosted in, it might be hosted in the command line and then bring up kind of an ANSI art progress bar. Or if it's hosted in a Windows application, you might choose to put up an actual progress bar. So no one has to know it's a PowerShell script. And you still get the flexibility of being able to change those scripts. That example is at shrinkster.com/GIQ.
Very nice.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. There's a number of different advanced things that I've got up on the blog to take a look at. One of them is talking to Virtual Server 2005 using WMI with shrinkster.com/GIS.
Mm-hmm.
And then extending DIR, actually making DIR show more information than it does when it ships with the PowerShell. That's at shrinkster.com/GIT.
Nice.
Lots of good information. I really encourage people to take the time because it'll suck for the first couple of hours. PowerShell is obtuse and confusing.
Hmm.
But once you get it, it stops being obtuse and starts being elegant.
Hmm.
You know, it stops being confusing and it starts working the way your brain works.
It really opens up a lot of OS things that aren't available to you. I got to tell you, Scott, that example with Google Desktop is just wild.
Because how would you have done that before, right?
Yeah, no, you couldn't.
Yeah, it would have been very, very difficult. You could have done it with a command line application in .NET, but it wouldn't truly have been integrated.
Yeah.
It's the difference between kind of MacGyver-style integration, right? Where you're doing baling wire and interop.
Tweezers.
And really having it baked in.
Wow, that sounds fantastic, Scott. I think the listeners are really going to appreciate all your hard work in rounding up all these great resources. Check out PowerShell, get into it, and we'll see you next week on Hansel Minutes.